Hey everyone, we're here today with another edition of the Hospitable Host podcast. Today, we're talking about damage, we're talking about theft, we're talking about loss. It's a topic that we have to cover. It's a sad part of the short-term rental industry. My guest today is Leo Walton. He is the Director of Growth and the co-founder of Superhog. I am hosting the podcast. My name is Andrew. I'm the Director of Product for Hospitable. Leo, welcome. Introduce yourself, please.
Thank you, Andrew. Very, very excited to be here. So yeah, you're right. I'm part of the leadership team at Superhog, one of the co-founders. I've been in the short-term rental industry since 2012. I'm a total geek for the industry, like most of us are who are involved with it. It's a very addictive industry for how exciting it is to be able to take one property and be a host. You know, 500 properties, 200 properties, one property, doesn't matter. You're hosting. It's quite an addictive thing. So I got into the business in 2012, working for a company called One Fine Stay. And then in that process, learned that there was a lot of anxieties, fears, and reasons to not get involved in home sharing and hosting because you're worried about the property. And so that led me and my co-founder, Humphrey, one of two other co-founders, Humphrey and Andrew, to think about Superhog as being the risk management toolkit that you need to make the hosting experience safer. So it's just creating some guardrails. And so we've been in business now for some time as Superhog since the end of 2019, but before then as a straight up insurance company since 2017. We've been in business for a long time trying to make sure that people can get on with hosting and take as many bookings as they want to because there's some safety rails in place.
Cool. And so that works itself out into a couple of different products, right? I know you have the damage protection product that we're using with the direct premium line that we're offering, that's fully integrated into that product. You have a Know Your Guest, which is a guest vetting solution, correct? Is there anything I'm missing?
Yeah, that's right. So obviously we've integrated our damage protection program straight into the Hospitable direct booking websites because we're able to do that because we're able to see through the data we have passed to us, we're able to screen the guest name, the guest email, the guest phone number, the guest date of birth, and the home address. So that allows us to start the process of screening. So with Superhog, we never protect an unverified booking. But clearly, you can do a great deal of verification on a guest without even needing to ask them for an ID. So we'll provide damage protection on a per booking basis to any host as long as we can do a light screen on their guest, either through them putting them through our piece of software or through an integration, as we have done here. And ultimately, if you also want extras, so if you want things like ID verification and cross-referencing, sex offender registry checking in the US, we can do all of that stuff too and beef it up. But the premise of our checks is that we can tell a lot about someone based on what we have in our own database and the fraud databases that we've linked to around the internet to make sure that if someone's using an email and a phone number that's been used somewhere else for a chargeback or a fraudulent transaction or something criminal, it'll flag. If the email and the phone number don't match one another, it'll flag, you know, all these different checks and balances that we have in place to make sure that bookings are safe. What does that mean long term? It means that when damages do occur, we're also much more likely to be able to get the guest to pay for their damage. Because if they run away, then they might be stopped from staying somewhere else in the world where Superhog are involved in the screening process, which is pretty prominent all over the world. So there's a fear factor there. So better than a normal insurance product, there's more leverage in it. You know, we're able to get guests to contribute more often to their damages, which is good. It keeps the product at a better rate and it means that you're having cleaner resolutions.
Are you able to share your percentage on the number of successful reclaims from the guests?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's around 50%. It goes up and down slightly, but it's around 50%. So it's truly revolutionary, right? If you had an insurance product, just an insurance policy attached to your short-term rental activity, they would never get anywhere near your guest. You know, you'd only start speaking to them when something went wrong. We're here to be a deterrent as well as the cure to a problem. And that deterrent starts by even someone not wanting to book a home that's using screening because they're coming with criminal, malicious, malintent. But clearly what can happen is that a guest that sets out to be a good guest can turn into a bad guest when you mix the beautiful things of being on holiday, which relaxes you, and drinking alcohol, which relaxes you. So, you know, everyone, a lot of people start out as a good guest, but might end up as being not the best guest. That's what holidays are like. Therefore, you need a damage protection in place, which is why we have our $5 million guarantee, because a good guest can go bad. A good example would be a bachelor party, stag do, if you will, that goes wrong. People break, yeah, everyone gets a bit carried away. Something expensive gets broken. In the old days, before using risk management tools and before technology was involved, those people would just scarper. You know, at the end of the booking, you'd never hear from them again, and there'd be no way of getting back in contact with them effectively to get them to pay for it. Now you can send the lead guest an email and say, by the way, you've been screened by Superhog. We are a risk management business working on behalf of your client. If you try and stay somewhere else in the world that's using our checks, we will not be able to approve your guest verification, knowing what you have done in this property. And before you know it, the other nine people and that person feel a bit guilty, club together and pay for the damage. And that is a realistic use case of this in a way that doesn't sound like much, but it's happening every day. It's just, oh, okay, it's $500 each. It was quite an expensive coffee table that we trashed, or we broke a sofa, so something of that nature.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about your previous point that just the act of guest vetting is actually proactively preventing damage, because you know this theoretical bachelor party, that might not even happen. They might abandon the reservation if they realize that they're going to have a liability there for those damages.
Totally, and I can say anecdotally, without having the data on it, I can say anecdotally that none of our clients report to us a drop in bookings, because it's marginal. There's so few people that come in with that intention or coming knowing there's a chance of that. So it's nice. You don't really even feel that booking going down the road to somebody else. The other side of that as well. So the first thing is I don't think you feel the difference in how many bookings you have. The other side of that is that anecdotally, people regularly speak to us and say, look, I don't know how you've done it. We used to have a party problem. You know, Halloween, New Year's Eve, without fail, we'd always have one or two parties. We haven't had a party in 3 years since we've been working with you. And we get that feedback, and it's awesome. I think, you know, like there's lots of different parts of our product that make me very proud, because we're set up to build tools that just make, like I say, just make hosting better, safer, easier to access. But that's the bit I love the most. When people say, we don't quite know how, but we haven't had a party in that time. And I look back over their verifications, and it's not like we've seen an unusually high level of rejection or fraud or criminal interference. It's just that person has gone and booked elsewhere.
Right. Interesting. And so, and from the host perspective, basically they're turning over the process to you when they file a claim. So in the situation where you're unable to like reclaim that, maybe that $500 of liability the guest has, the host isn't impacted, right? Then that's running over to the insurance then at that point, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. So where the Superhog damage protection program is enabled, we do the mediation and the resolution. So that's trying to get the money from your guest, liaise with them, but also pay you for any damages. We'll most likely do that first, and then we'll go after the guest in the background so that you're not left waiting.
What's a standard timeline look like for you on, you know, filing a claim to a resolution or a payment, I guess?
If it's simple, then, and you can really hammer us to the wall with this, it should be 48 hours. You know, if you can provide photo and receipt or evidence of how much the item cost, we can process straight away, and then we can go after the guest in the background if it's that type of damage and that feels appropriate. If it's more complicated, it will just naturally take longer, but you won't mind that, because maybe you're waiting for a fire report or a police report or something more serious. Then it might take weeks because there's an investigation going on. So, you know, if it's a simple claim, it should be a really simple resolution.
Okay. So let's talk about setup. Like, we obviously have a lot of, for Hospitable, our target audience is property owners with just a few properties. They're getting started in the business. A lot of tools, I think, are very difficult to get set up. Obviously, we have what we're doing with Direct Premium, which doesn't require any setup. Actually, Hospitable is the customer of Superhog in that sense. But we have another integration that I think is coming out imminently that is going to let our hosts be a customer of Superhog. Let's say I want to expand, you know, my risk management for bookings outside of Direct Premium on my own. What does that kind of setup process look like for a small scale host to become a customer of Superhog?
It's a good question. And before I answer it, I'll say that's one of the great things about Direct Premium. I love this partnership that we've put together, the fact that it's enabled instantly. So, you know, you don't even have to think about it, but you've got every booking protected if you want it to be. So yes, correct. we also want to be involved in your customers' activity outside of direct premium. So the integration is being built such that you can put your properties in Superhog just at one click of a button. So there's an API integration between Hospitable and Superhog so that you can upload your properties into the Superhog dashboard straight from Hospitable. It then pulls in all of your reservations and all of your guest information so that from that point on, so from every forward-looking booking thereafter, we will send them out a verification link via email, or if we don't have the email, via text message, SMS. That process begins after the guest has completed their booking on whatever booking channel they are using. And we'll give you some words to put on your listings about the fact that you're going to be asking them to go through the verification process. And also, if you want it, we can also do a damage deposit and a damage waiver. And I'll go into that separately, but hold that thought for now. So you take your booking as normal, and afterwards the guest receives a verification link and it's white labeled. So it'll be your branding, it'll be your name in the URL. That whole process doesn't feel like they're being moved on to a new who a Superhog type situation. It's your hosting or property management company logo and branding, but they go through that journey seamlessly. And then you get the data fed back into your Superhog dashboard. So you can see the verification status. Has the guest completed? Is the booking approved? Can I feel safe taking this booking?
And I think that's the next step for us. So we were talking with your product team this week about then moving some of that status information into Hospitable. They'll be able to see that directly in the Hospitable inbox while you're conversing with the guests. You've got all the reservation details there. You're also going to be able to see the status there eventually. That's a work in progress, but we look forward to getting that done as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, that's what I love about working with you guys is the desire to make sure that everything's the best in class. So we're very aware that we don't want people to suffer with death by Chrome tab, right? So if you can have it all in one place, even better.
Who on my team ratted me out, Leo? Every time I share my screen in Zoom, I am just berated for the number of Chrome tabs I have open. But I feel like I'm an M2 chip tester for the new Macs, and I'm going to see, how many Chrome tabs it takes to break them. Okay, so we've talked about setup. We talked about the process. I sticking with the theme of the smaller scale host who probably is maybe new to the business, besides damage protection, they're still on the hook to have different levels of insurance, right? What other insurance am I required as a short-term rental operator to have?
Yeah, so that's a good question, and I'll answer it. I'll come around to it. So you're quite right. There's different things that we do. So we provide for direct premium, Hospitable, you're protected right the way down to the deductible level, which is $75. So $75 to $5 million. For our main products, the minimum contribution is typically about $500. So we protect people from $500 to $5 million. And that first $500, you can take a damage deposit during the verification process, or a non-refundable damage waiver. This is a really effective product. It's a good revenue line for your business. It's effectively a way to monetize your small amount of risk. So clearly the reason you want a product like ours is because you don't want to be on the hook for $5 million or a house burning down or flooding or something of that nature. But the small stuff is actually worth having a go at, because you can monetize it. And typically people charge somewhere between $35 and $50 to their guest. We then keep a 10%, Superhog keeps a 10% handling fee. We remit $90 to you, the host. And if you give the guest the option between paying a $500 deposit or a $45 waiver, 85% of them will choose the waiver because they don't want to have that $500 held on their card. Maybe they're traveling with their family and their young daughter might have a sort of desire to draw on walls and things of that nature. Stuff that can happen. But you as a property manager can get in there and a host and get in there really quickly and sort it out. And you've got the money to pay for it. So if you choose the damage waiver, your likely return will be 95% of what you keep. You won't have to use, but 5% you'll have to use to pay for damages under $500. That said, if you're a bit nervous about it, and maybe you've only got one property, and so you think it'll take a long time to build up that pot of funds to make it worth your while, Superhog can also take the risk on that one. So that's something that's something we could take the risk for you. We could collect the damage waivers and we could keep it, but we prefer you to do it because it's revenue for you. So like I say, there's that damage waiver, damage deposit option that you can use with us. You don't need that for your direct premium stuff, but you might want that for your other things.
We still get requests. We still get requests for direct premium, even though, you know, the host is not liable at all. They're missing the revenue generation that they might have for their damage waiver. And so I actually wanted to talk to you about that. I guess the guest still has that $500 of liability with direct premium, and they might be willing to pay to remove that liability from themselves. So yeah, we should talk about that because we do have that request.
Yeah, I actually think there's a way for sure, which could build into that. And that's the beauty of a damage waiver, right? When people start using it, and I didn't set Andrew up to say that, but when people start using it, you know, you get hooked on it. You really don't want to turn it off for any booking. So yeah, it's a really good point. Outside of Superhog though, outside of know your guest checking and damage protection and damage waivers and deposits, if you want to use them, you also need to have your own home insurance provision in place, because these homes are not going to be booked the whole time. So there's going to be risk and damage outside of your booking windows. Also, if something happens that's got nothing to do with the guest, so a tree comes through the window in a storm, something of that nature, you need home insurance for that, because Superhog is specifically designed to protect you against actions by guests, things they do in your property to put you at risk. So that's another reason. And the third thing you need is a liability. You need your own public liability, and that would be attached to your home insurance as well. So if someone trips or falls, or a cleaner or a contractor in the home trips or falls, you need to have that. So there, that's definitely something you need to have outside of Superhog. Superhog's there to protect your bookings, and then have a bog standard home insurance that covers you for the other stuff. But the great thing is, if you use us, it's way more cost effective than trying to buy all of that from your insurance company, because they won't like it. They won't like the short-term rental damage risk. That's why we can take care of that part for you with the guarantee system.
Interesting. And yeah, I had a question that I thought of earlier when you were talking about like the different checks that happen with a know your guest, with the vetting part. Are you seeing any jurisdictions? I think I'm coming out of like battle injuries from setting up the tax with direct premium, and the Byzantine jurisdictional differences in the US for taxes. Are they actually enforcing vetting standards in some jurisdictions? Like you have to have like a sex offender watch list check to have a short-term rental booking in this county. Are you seeing any of that?
Yeah, we are starting to see it. And the reason we know about it is because the hosting community is telling us to build product to help them. So we've done the required integration for the US Sex Offender Registry for our hosts in Arizona, because it's now mandated that every lead guest has to go through that check. And again, they came to us, one of our hosts specifically came to us, a guy called John Hildebrand of Hildy Homes. And he said, look, if you guys can do this, then that's going to be helping us all out, because he's involved in the local association there. So we did it for that reason. And I hear about it in other cities too. There's lots of battles going on, as we know. I don't need to go into that on this podcast, because we need a whole other episode to talk about the regulatory battles that are happening. But yes, and if you're involved at a local level with any of the work, it's always great to remind policymakers, isn't it? The fact that there are tools that can make this experience safer. And it's not just people being unprofessional. Actually, the hosting community, by and large, is very, very professional, especially people that are taking it seriously and engaging with technology. They're not trying to do anything wrong. Therefore, as a provider of guest information, we have to move with the times and also change our journeys to make it so. I also know in Europe, lots of places mandate IDs. You have to do IDs. You have to collect passport numbers. You need to do that. So they can check who's, you have to send that to the police so they can check who's coming in and out. And they can charge tourist tax and all of that sort of usual stuff.
And to be clear, this is not like Superhog dark money flowing into these jurisdictions for lobbying for these restrictions, because it's helping your business out quite a bit, I think.
It's really interesting, isn't it? I'm not sidestepping the question. Of course, the answer is no to that. But no, it's really interesting, because we've always come at it from the angle of de-risking it for the host, and we'd never really thought about it when we start. You know what it's like. Growing a business, it's you're just following breadcrumbs the whole time, right? You know, piece. And we hadn't ever thought about the implications at a kind of state level or a municipal government level that people, hosts, would actually be demanding from us more checks to be added into the process, because it was something that they needed to stay legal and keep doing what they do. So yeah, that's been revelatory, really. And again, I don't like it, because it's not good for the industry, but it's certainly in the short term not a terrible thing for Superhog.
Yeah. Cool. So damage protection is great and all, but what about preventing damage in the first place? Do you have recommendations or, you know, outside of guest screening, what are some common sense things that hosts can do to avoid damages?
Yeah, so I like to tie this in my thinking. I like to tie this to just trying to get to know who your guest is in general. I think it's really important to, from the get-go, not to think of yourself as a host who works on behalf of Booking.com, Vrbo, Airbnb, right? It makes sense to think about your home as a business. So who is that guest that you want to attract? Where do you find that guest? You know, like, is there great cultural events in your city and that's the guest you want, but you want to avoid the spring break guest? So, you know, all the marketing that you put together and you'll begin to do, that needs to be geared towards that guest. Also, how do you set up your properties? If you're in a known party spot, you'd be mad to put a hot tub on the roof, right? Like, you might want to think about a different approach, you know. So it does, for me, it starts all the way back there. Who's my avatar? Who's my ideal guest? And then how do I find them? And then when I found them, how do I get more of them? And that's where Superhot can obviously help, because you'll get their email address, you'll get their phone number, you can retarget them with marketing, get them to come back, tell their friends and all that good stuff. And in amongst all of that, that'll help you then realize the pattern of who good guests are and what good booking dates are for you and what are the ones to avoid. So I would say don't allow one-night bookings if you can avoid it, but they are quite good if you're trying to fill gaps. So at that point, just make sure it's the right type of guest. The other side is, you know, once they're in the property, it's probably too late, but you can use things like noise boxes and monitoring devices. I wouldn't be averse to that. But I would say the more you can get to know about your guests and who your ideal guest is, the safer you'll be. And there's no safer guest than a repeat guest, because I've never seen any evidence, and I've been in the business a long time, of a guest staying with you three or four times, then on the fifth time, suddenly becoming a criminal or a fraudster. Yeah, or a party organizer. It doesn't happen. Touch wood, it shouldn't. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, so it's both like the simplest and the hardest thing, which is, yeah, you have to make it a part of your brand, which is such a critical process. Getting in direct booking is, you have to build a brand. You have to think about it as your business. And it's great watching all of our hosts doing this. I mean, I spend a lot of time on our direct booking websites. I see some amazing sites. I just think one the other day that was just like nailed it, like beautiful, really building a brand there. You know, you're doing that for name recognition, so people can find you when they're searching on Google. You know, you're kind of pulling potential OTA reservations when they see, you know, the signals that say, hey, this looks like someone that has like a direct booking operation set up. But I hadn't thought about it as like, this is how you're avoiding parties, because you're not presenting yourself as a party destination. It's not your brand. And people are just not going to be interested if they're looking for the bachelor party, right? So,
yeah. And then couple that with the little bit of verbiage in your listing about how you're protecting. And before you know it, you've set that guest.
Cool. So we're about out of time, but let's give some juicy bits to our listeners here. Can we talk about, you know, what is the most innovative fraud that you guys have detected? What is the most, I don't know, the weirdest damage you've seen, maybe the happiest customer who was made whole after a process? What are some fun anecdotes that you can share with anyone that's still sticking around for this part of the podcast?
It's like you have to sit through 25 minutes of Leo, just 5 minutes of gold at the end. Fraud-wise, you see people putting on, trying to put on masks that aren't their faces. That happens. You see people clearly upload images of themselves that are not them, that weren't even them 20 years ago, which is just excellent. Like they can try and cheat the system. But the great thing is we get to manually look back at them as well when something flags to the system. So there's some good, funny stuff in there.
Yeah, we're doing the same, and it's hard. It's hard to kind of build like an SOP, some process to go through and say, at what point do I allow this booking? At what point do I say, no, this is clearly fraud? And you do see some, I mean, yeah, the selfie, which is the same photo of the driver's license. Like, here's also my selfie, and yeah, creative.
On Super Zoom. But and then we've just seen ridiculous email addresses that they think that people aren't going to check, you know, and then obviously then there's the more serious fraud where it's just the same behavior, right? So it's the same behavior. Someone tries to book last minute, like super last minute on a Friday evening to arrive on a Saturday morning. They probably have no intention of coming. It's probably just a money laundering chargebacks operation. And you see it coming in, and And you just start to read those patterns. But fraud actually is not that juicy. It's normally very boring, but it's about patterns and spotting those patterns. But the selfies definitely allow for a certain level of fun. Or someone telling you they're in a certain part of the world, but their IP address is saying they're somewhere where they really have no logical reason to be. I also quite enjoy people's attempted, if they're from a different country and they try and attempt what they think sounds like a really good English name. I probably should have come with a few of those examples because they always particularly make me laugh. And then on the damage side of things, we've seen it all. We really have. I have to be careful because obviously, you know, you got to be careful what you share on the damage stuff. But I think a good funny one is when we were just selling, because we started by just selling the protection before we built out the software. That's our sort of pre-life before Superhog was Hardhog. And there was a party where there was a stiletto wedged like in the glass of an oven door. So that was found, and that photo I think was framed and was in the office for a while. That was the best I've ever seen. So someone obviously finished their night, you know, dancing, kicked the oven door and left. It's a modern day Cinderella, isn't it?
Amazing. Great. Well, thank you so much, Leo. That was fun. I learned some things. You got any, blog or podcast of your own that you want to guide our listeners to for more information?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're all over YouTube and LinkedIn and Instagram. If you go to YouTube, Know Your Guest by Superhog, you'll find all of our content there. Short videos, long videos, some educational stuff. So yeah, check us out. And I'm obviously available as well at Leo Walton or leo@superhog.com.
Great. Thank you so much. And thanks for all the hosts that stuck around for the entire podcast. We appreciate it. And we'll be back with another episode soon. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Andrew.